You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You have no idea how many young people I've now got credibility with because of your TV show.
Are you kidding?
It's true. Like, the kids think I'm really cool now. They do.
What a ridiculous thing for you to say to me. I can't believe you did it, to be honest.
I can't believe I did it either. No, of course I can't. Don't be ridiculous. But it's also me just going, oh, go on, let me be in another scene. Let me be in another scene. And they're like, okay, I suppose you can be in one with Alice. On Rose's TV show, if somebody doesn't show up for work, Alice Sneddon, who co-writes the show with Rose, she just is basically like this sort of zealot figure who they can slot into any scene. And they slotted her into a scene with me in the next season, and it was complete heaven.
So excited for you to see it.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Can't wait.
Hello, I'm Minnie Driver, and welcome to Mini Questions. I've always loved Proust's Questionnaire. It was originally an 18th century parlor game meant to reveal an individual's true nature. But with so many questions, there wasn't really an opportunity to expand on anything. So I took the format of Proust's Questionnaire and adapted what I think are seven of the most important questions you could ever ask someone. They are: when and where were you happiest? What is the quality you like least about yourself? What relationship, real or fictionalized, defines love for you? What question would you most like answered? What person, place, or experience has shaped you the most? What would be your last meal? And can you tell me something in your life that has grown out of a personal disaster? The more people we ask, the more we begin to see what makes us similar and what makes us individual. I've gathered a group of really remarkable people who I'm honored and humbled to have had a chance to engage with. My guest today on Mini Questions is actor and writer Rose Matafea. Rose and I both love George Segal and both watch a lot of movies. Basically, I'm just trying to have things in common with her because I think she's clever and brilliant. She and the equally genius Alice Sneddon wrote the show Starstruck, which is on HBO in the US and BBC Three in the UK. And they had the very pleasing idea to cast me in the show as well as a terrible person, which I very much enjoy. It's a really funny show. I feel like Rose and Alice have the kind of voices that rise up and over the traffic jam of comedy shows that abound on every platform. Rose is just bloody funny. And her answer to what question she'd most like answered is unusual. All right, Angel, I'm going to crack on.
Okay.
First question. When and where were you happiest?
I don't know if many of your other guests have difficulty like identifying when they are happy. I feel like happiness is like that thing for me that happens peripherally where it's like, oh yeah. And you kind of watch it kind of pass you by. And I'm the worst at living in the moment. That concept doesn't exist for me. It's like every moment is either near future or the just recent past. There is nothing about living in the moment.
Or I'm trying to get away from it. Don't make me be stuck in the moment. I want to get away from that. Let that be the past. This now has got to be the past really fucking fast.
Really, really fast. And then I can dwell on it. I love dwelling. I live on the past. I dwell in the past. It's my house. It's my home. I've got a mortgage in it. But there are very rare moments where I am very calm and aware of my surroundings and where I'm just being happy and relaxed. I think the last time it happened was it was lockdown last year. I came back from London to New Zealand to like watch the world end, I suppose, and sort of, you know, figure out what I'm going to do with my life. I don't have like a family home in New Zealand or anything, but my nan does. And so I live with my nan when I go back to New Zealand. And so I live with her for quite a few months and it was just me and her and it was intense. But there was an afternoon where I was like in her backyard and it was like sunny. She's the best nan ever. She was like, I'll put the hammock up for you, Rose. And she made me sit in the hammock and she furnishes me with all this stuff. And then she brought over a radio that was like, it was like a
crank radio.
A crank radio that was a crank radio, which was also a torch.
Oh, it's an emergency.
It's an emergency torch and FM radio.
I love it. Great.
That's the happiest I've been in so long.
In a hammock with a crank radio.
Yeah.
Aww.
Playing like Seals and Croft. I've got the taste of like a 60-year-old man when it comes to music. It's that kind of era or like yacht rock, you know?
Yeah, Kenny Loggins, all that Michael McDonald.
Oh my God, give me some Michael McDonald. Give me some Little River Band or something, you know? I'm honestly the oldest person alive in my body.
Currently.
I think it's that feeling very like safe, relaxed. And I don't know if I'm like very much an extrovert, but I love, you know, that feeling of having someone in the other room pottering. I love that feeling.
I love that too. I think that goes back to childhood. I really do. The complete safety.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was before we knew that like there was absolutely nothing they could do to stop the apocalypse if it were to happen. But when you're a child, you think that they could.
Exactly. The sound of a radio playing in a different room as well. And like the sound of someone just doing chores or like, you know, tinkering away. It's just so lovely.
No, I agree. Do you know, it's so funny. My dad had some depression later in his life. And when I asked him what he did to combat it, he said, well, you know, the first thing I do in the morning is go downstairs and put the radio on and then go back upstairs so I can hear it from upstairs. And it sort of broke my heart, but I actually do it now, even when I'm not depressed. It's the idea that there is proof of life somewhere in the house.
Totally. I listen to New Zealand radio in London and I feel immediately just calm because it reminds me of my nan's house. And when my granddad passed away, her sister was like, keep the radio on. She was just like, put the radio on all the time. It's going to feel like someone's in the house. And she just did.
I think it's really interesting, like that idea of quite literally tuning into a frequency to go, okay, I can sort of be there and it becomes a companion. It becomes a tether to reality.
Totally.
It's pure comfort. It's really interesting. I rely on my kitchen radio.
Yeah. It's like the thing of like looking at the moon and there's someone else looking at the same moon. It's like why people watch television and why people go to the cinema and why people listen to it's that shared experience. It's not the same if you put a playlist on. It's like there's something so specific and weirdly unifying about that, isn't it?
Completely. So maybe it's about the creation of community because we're all so bleeding isolated.
I think so.
Those things that make us feel, even in our isolation, you're still alone when the radio's on, but you're also not.
It's that feeling of going, oh my God, I'm alive at the same time as you. That always blows my mind sometimes, you know, and I'm like, it's kind of incredible when you look around anyone, everyone, you're like, oh my God, we're alive at the same time. What are the odds?
What are the chances?
What are the chances that we are alive at the same time? I love so many dead celebrities. And so I like, you know, I always get gutted because there's been so many people in human history, in the universe. It is bizarre that you and I are alive at the same time. It's a very cool, astonishing thing that I don't think people realize.
I know, Rose. You have, I don't mean this as an insult, but I think that you have quite a lot of stoned thoughts completely sober. You function at a really stoned level of thinking a lot of the time.
That's so true.
And it's one of the things I love most about you, because like, you're not smoking weed when we're working and having these conversations.
I'm not.
No. But with the backdrop, you know, watching the present moment go by as if it were a barge on a river, whilst listening to Michael McDonald, whilst marvelling that you're alive at the same time as all the people on that barge. Like, I fucking love you.
Oh my God. Don't do drugs, kids. Just be stoned sober, you know?
Just do a lot of overthinking.
Just be a Pisces.
Either way, that's exactly it. Just be a Pisces. All right, so as a Piscean, then what quality do you like least about yourself?
So many. I mean, it's hard to narrow it down. I'm a very self-critical person, and that's something that I think maybe when I was younger, I thought was an asset, and I'm kind of realizing it's not, and it's a slight form of self-obsession, even though everyone is obsessed with themselves. But I've kind of built almost like a career of being self-deprecating, and I'm getting to the point now where I'm like, God, that might not be a great thing. But I think it's an interesting question in that I really do think that everyone has traits, and there is always the like equally positive and negative aspects of them. So I think things that I go, oh gosh, I really don't like that about myself, there's always a flip side of going, well, if I didn't have that, I wouldn't have the other thing about me. And the thing recently I've realized is that I've got a quick temper. I can get really angry and not necessarily at other people. I don't take it out on other people, but I sound like I'm like in Star Wars or something. I've got a lot of anger inside me sometimes, and I can't control my emotions very well. I'm very bad, I think, at controlling my emotions. Me and my friend Emma, we describe it as living close to God. Like, we're just on the edge. We are on the edge of our emotions. There is no burying it. We are living life outward.
Okay, wait, I'm loving that it's taking something like, okay, I've got a really bad temper. Yeah, but let's call it being closer to God.
I know.
I'm a bit of a kleptomaniac. Okay, let's call that stealing for Jesus.
You got to put a positive spin on things. You got to look on the bright side of life. Come on, Minnie.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I wonder if that is the evolution of the awareness of the things that we don't like about ourselves, is by going, well, if I didn't have this short temper or irritation or whatever it is, I wouldn't necessarily have this other thing. I don't think that the things we like least about ourselves are necessarily bad. I genuinely think that they're part of the awful quilt that we're shrouded in. Oh, in our human existence.
Oh my God. The quote, you know, quotes. You could not have made a more perfect metaphor for my outlook on life. It involves craft, and it involves like complete cynicism. I mean, controlling emotions is hard, but I think it's particularly hard when your work is about that. It's like it's about harnessing it.
It's the currency.
Yeah. I think that's what learning the craft of whatever you do is being able to not go absolutely mental. It's a tightrope walk.
I think it's also about figuring out what the triggers are. I figured out that men with a particular kind of handshake were really problematic. So the minute I shook hands with them, I was like, my own coach, all right, steady. Phil's a total dick. You've only just met him, but I know you're going to hate him. Don't let anything he says bother you. Just ignore him. And it actually worked. I wish I could do that with everybody, but I just got lucky realizing that men with weird handshakes, it's a particular kind of handshake.
I don't know, man. Instincts. I hate that instincts are often so correct. It's such an annoying thing you want to ignore sometimes. Yeah, I think maybe that's the thing I hate about myself, is that I do things against my better judgment. There is a small rose in me. There is a rose in me. And she is so smart and so wise, so clever, has so many principles. She is strong. She's a strong rose, but she is a tiny one back somewhere in my hair.
Well, you lock her in the bathroom, don't you?
I mean, exactly.
That's what we all do with the sentient person who lives inside us. We often just lock them in the bathroom and don't let them come out with us.
Exactly.
Right, everyone in the car, not you.
Not you. Not you, smart Rose. All right, you're going to ruin tonight.
AI might be the most important new computer technology ever. It's storming every industry, and literally billions of dollars are being invested. So buckle up. The problem is that AI needs a lot of speed and processing power. So how do you compete without costs spiraling out of control? It's time to upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is a single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. OCI has 4 to 8 times the bandwidth of other clouds, offers one consistent price instead of variable regional pricing, and of course, nobody does data better than Oracle. So now you can train your AI models at twice the speed and less than half the cost of other clouds. If you want to do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic, take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/strategic. That's oracle.com/strategic. Oracle.com/strategic.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
What question would you most like answered?
Oh my goodness. Does everyone always say, like, what happens after you die?
Yeah, pretty much. But it is kind of.
I don't want to know.
What question do you most not want answered? I don't want to know what happens when you die. Jesus.
I'm petrified of death. It's awful. I don't want it to happen. Death is unacceptable. It is an unacceptable premise because it's accepting the absence of something. You cannot accept the absence of an experience. Do you know what I mean? I can accept it's going to rain. Oh, I have to accept the fact that I will not have the capabilities to accept anything anymore. It's like a freaking paradox. Like, what are you talking about? I think it would be worse to be told, because I just don't think anything happens. I think maybe something happens with the energy in your body because I was raised by hippies. You know, that goes somewhere, but you're not like, you know, able to do anything with it. It's probably like the end of 2001 Space Odyssey or something. But if I knew what happened after death, I would be such a shit human now. I'd be like, oh, fuck it. Oh, I can kick it and have, oh, fuck, what am I trying to be a good person here? Oh, God, fuck, no, whatever. I'm trying to think of things I genuinely want to know. I would like to know where eels come from. Do you know about eels?
No, tell me.
I mean, look, I read a headline. I didn't read the whole article, but I read something.
Oh my God.
The rumor has it, eels, no one knows where they go. They don't know where they come from. They don't know where they breed.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Many, they don't know where the frick these eels are going.
Okay, I'm Googling this shit right now. Where do eels come from?
It's literally
from?
No one knows.
Okay, hold on.
Check it out, honestly.
Listen, The New Scientist, you're absolutely right. How are baby eels made? We still don't know. So let me ask you this. You don't want to know what happens with death because you don't want death to happen and you're annoyed by that. But you're not annoyed by eels. You would like to know where they come from. So are you quite conditional about the magic that you want an answer for?
Yeah, basically. You know what? And even in saying that I want to know where eels come from, I don't. I honestly, you know what? If you've got a secret to keep, they're keeping it for a reason. Like, we don't need to know everything. Look, there must be some mystery left in this world. Embrace the unknown, for God's sake.
I wish I knew what I should not want to know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just accept it and just go out. I mean, which must have been basically everybody in the Dark Ages. It's like,
oh my God, yeah.
What is that white light in the sky? I'll never know what that thing at night is, the big, round, silver thing.
Bizarre.
Don't need to know.
It's on a need-to-know basis. And honey, you are not on the list. You are not on the list. But no, yeah, I think the knowing what happens after you die, it sucks. It sucks.
I don't know that it would make now any better. That's the only thing.
I don't think it would.
I don't think it would change because we can't stop. I'd rather know how to stop the dying thing.
Oh, God, that'd be brilliant. I would even take knowing how to stop worrying about the dying thing.
Ooh, that's good.
Because to worry about something that is not in your control is irrational. And that's the worst thing about being human and being capable of understanding your own death. We've been cursed with the ability to know that we will one day die. And it's like, it can be a kind of galvanizing, energy.
Well, I was going to say, I would be extremely unmotivated if I didn't worry about death so much.
Yeah, that's true. That's so freaking true. Actually, you know what? That's a really good point.
Death, the great motivator.
Memento mori. Get off your ass, bitch.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, slightly more in the here and now, but also to do with death. What would be your last meal?
Thank you so much for asking.
Yes, I welcome.
I think about this often because mainly I got really obsessed with the last meals of serial killers on death row for a while.
You know, my son was also very interested in that. It's usually fried chicken. Like if I were on Family Feuds, that would be number one that I would make everybody say.
Always fried chicken. Or like I think often the default meal, well, if you don't ask for something, is like a roast beef dinner or something. I think Ted Bundy like didn't eat his or something like that. I don't know. Like I need to stop reading about this kind of stuff. One guy just chose one single pea.
That's weird.
I mean, that's the most annoying. How can you be annoying all the way up until death?
I think you can. Yeah, one pea. So wait, do you then compare what you would like to these serial killers and what they like and try and find?
Well, I use it as a basis. Yeah. I'm like, well, you know, if I was... I really had to choose because I think you could go with something, you know, sentimental or something, you know, my nan made. But honestly, part of me is like, I want Pizza Hut, but the way they did it in the 90s, where they like essentially fried the crusts in oil, which was basically borderline illegal. And I want a Meat Lover's pizza, a 1.5 bottle of Pepsi and some chocolate mousse. Because I think by the end of eating that, I would want to die.
But be ready.
I don't want to eat like a light meal. I don't want to eat sashimi. I don't need a light meal before I die. Get me to the point where I'm like, you know what? It would be awful to sort of pass on to the next stage after this.
You'd be quite surprised how many people are like, you know, if I knew it was my last meal, I would barely be able to eat. And it's like, well... Well, also, what if you didn't know that it was your last meal?
Exactly. If heaven existed and then you die and you look back on the, you know, sort of highlights reel of your last day and you see that you had like a Pret sandwich or something, you're like, fuck, no, why did I eat that?
You'd be so gutted. In fact, that's why I hate eating those yogurts that are like, you know, a billion acidophilus, whatever it is, because it makes me... First of all, it makes me feel like there's a billion creatures in my gut. But also, I would hate the irony of doing something for my health right before I die. Because then it would just be another lyric in Alanis Morissette's song. It's acidophilus right before you die.
I mean, it's that whole thing of wearing a good pair of knickers because you might get hit by a bus or something. And yeah,
exactly.
I had a stand-up joke years ago from a very genuine fear. And something that actually happened to me, being on a plane and really specifically deciding what film that you're watching because I'm really scared of flying. I don't want that plane to go down and I die. And my mum's like, what was the last thing she was watching? And then it would just be like, Despicable Me too. It's like you don't want that to be the final one, you know? You want to watch something poignant. And it happened, I was on a flight to Japan once and the plane like experienced engine failure and I was like, oh, holy shit. I was alone. I was like, well, this could be it. But I didn't have any song saved to my phone or anything. So as we were landing and as I was like really aware of the fact that this might be the last thing that I might experience on this world, the song I picked to potentially die to was Peg by Steely Dan. Like, what an what a song. But you know what? I stick by it. Like, it's a bop.
It's a bop.
It's a bop.
Oh my God. That is fantastic. Pig. Yeah.
Pig. Just those harmonies and just going down.
But that's a sly one because they arguably that is a great song. Even though there's just so much reference to kind of underage women and drugs and Steely Dan. I just have, you know, the Cuervo Gold, the fine Columbia.
Do you know how hard it is to be a 29-year-old woman living in 2021 and all of my favorite films being made in like the 60s and 70s? I've got the most problematic sort of list of texts that are my favorite.
But also we've established that you're a 60-year-old man in a 29-year-old's body with a bunch of other personalities locked in the bathroom.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Okay, so what relationship, real or fictionalized, defines love for you?
I mean, I love love. It's like an interest of mine. You know, I'm not successful in it, but I love the concept of it and others having it. One that I can really think of, which is so silly. When I was younger, I used to have like a celebrity height chart because I was quite tall and I felt really insecure about how tall I was. So I decided to make a chart in my school diary of all my favorite celebrities, how tall they were and then how many centimeters height difference they had to me. And being now in the business of show business, sometimes I do meet people who were probably on that chart and I tell them about it and they always take it not crazy well. And I can't imagine they should. I always got obsessed with couples where the woman was taller than the man.
What, like Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise?
Well, exactly. One of my favorite ones is Anne Bancroft and Mel Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Then I just started going down this rabbit hole recently of interviews with them both and when they would work together and how they met. And they have like this crazy love. I mean, I love actors and I love film and I love the whole kind of weird, I don't know, universe of sometimes when they date and marry each other. But it's so nice when you see like two very talented people and you're like, oh my God, and you guys totally get on and you love each other and you're obsessed with each other and you make each other laugh. And yeah, I really love their relationship and the fact that she's so much taller than them.
You know, I agree. And I think it's because you see that they loved each other so much that walked in the room before anything else.
Totally.
And also because he is so confident and great and so not insecure and so not like quite a lot of other short actors whom I've worked with.
Well, it's a thing, isn't it? We've come so far. I live in such a progressive world compared to my mom and my grandmother and all other generations and you go, it is still weird for me to date someone who's shorter than me. And it's utterly bizarre. It's so weird.
And also, let me tell you, I don't know if this has happened to you yet as an actor, but I've had more ditches dug for me than I've had men put on boxes.
Oh my God.
And it's kind of like, well, can we do rock, paper, scissors for like who either goes on the box or goes in the fucking ditch? Because frankly, it doesn't feel equitable and you're still shorter than me.
Exactly. Someone's putting on heels here.
But I found it's so not actors or men being short, it's the overcompensation for what it is they think they're missing. Whereas in the same way that Mel Brooks, he was just happy in himself and just with his super hot, amazing, beautiful, talented, clever wife.
Yeah.
There wasn't anything to compensate for.
Exactly. And I think also particularly in, you know, heterosexual relationships, seeing absolute comfort in the other person's amazingness with no hint of jealousy or competitiveness, of just being like, stoked to be with someone just incredible. And it's like, that's really hard to find. I think particularly for women, you know, like women who just are fucking awesome and shine in the world. I mean, maybe I'm being a bit too bitter. I think there are many wonderful couples out there, but I do find it heartbreaking when really great women can't find cool people. It's awful.
I know. I just got a text message from someone today going, can you find me a boyfriend? And it was just like, she's so amazing. I was like, what am I, what?
What's going on?
What is going on? And then also the other awful side of that was I was then thinking about men that I knew. And oddly, the way that they've been dealing with their singleness is to not kind of do any self-excavation, but rather to just shag a lot of women. And they're not people that I would want to set my mate up with anyway, because they just, I was like, there's no one I know who's worthy. And she's like, are you talking about X, Y, and Z? And I was like, yes. And she's like, but they're great. And I was like, well, I thought so until I saw how they behave with the women that they're sleeping with.
Yeah. Do you know how much self-respect is a cock block?
Oh my God.
It's so horrible. It's like, it's so difficult. I'm single. I've been single for quite a few years intermittently. And the older I get, it's so hard. It's like, and when I say the older I get, I'm like nearly, you know, I'm turning 30 next year. So I'm like, I've known nothing. I've got, and you know, in 10 years, I'll look back at myself and go, what the hell was I thinking? But it's so funny. Like if I was in my early 20s, there are situations I'd be in where I'd totally act differently. But now I'm like, you're better than this, right? You are better than this, which means you will not have sex right now. You need to accept that. You know you're better than this, but you are not going to have sex. And you're going to own that. You got to live with that. Okay? All right?
I feel like you've got quite a few different people who you keep locked in the bathroom.
I mean, it's a party. It's an ensuite.
And they just let them out to berate you and then shove them back in so that you can go out by yourself and make terrible decisions. I mean, that's a plan.
Lock them in.
You're only 29. I mean, seriously, this is the fun bit. And this sounds so patronizing.
Give it to me.
You saying that like having self-respect is a cock block. That's awesome. That is so awesome. And I'm telling you, there is some dude who is going to think that is absolutely brilliant. And you know what? He might be listening right now.
Oh my God. Can you believe that? And how did you meet? Well, I was listening to Minnie's podcast and I just felt it. And I just needed to find it. You know? The twist is that I was the one who texted you asking for a boyfriend. Oh God, Christ.
The second season of Starstruck, that I'm very happy to be part of, comes out in February. Mini Questions is hosted and written by me, Minnie Driver. Supervising producer, Aaron Kaufman. Producer, Morgan Lavoie. Research assistant, Marissa Brown. Original music, Sorry Baby, by Minnie Driver. Additional music by Aaron Kaufman. Executive produced by me, Minnie Driver. Special thanks to Jim Nicolay, Will Pearson, Addison O'Day, Lisa Castella and Anique Oppenheim at WKPR, De La Pescador, Kate Driver and Jason Weinberg, and for constantly solicited tech support, Henry Driver.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.